Candy Mountain, a Stargate Atlantis fanfiction, written and read by Tasmi. Relationship, John Rodney. Summary. When Rodney and John keep avoiding each other, Taylor makes a plan to help them sort out their feelings. Tags include humor, there was only one bed, truth serum, not talking about feelings, Taylor has a plan, luxury resort, vacation, John loves lollipops, references to homophobic parents, and feelings admission. The town of Dulsonne Pueble, known for its luxurious resort and confectionery treats, rested on the north side of what many dubbed Candy Mountain. Taylor remembered the place fondly as one of joy and relaxation in a galaxy full of strife. She often longed to return there, if only for a short while, to rejuvenate and get her bearings. Now, with the team in drastic need of rest and reconciliation, a spontaneous, unannounced vacation seemed the prudent course of action. Elizabeth thankfully agreed. Taylor quickly dove into planning. There remained two problems. One, getting enough trade goods to pay for the extravagant trip. And two, how best to use the resort to her advantage to get Rodney and John to finally talk. 7 days had passed since their botched mission to the planet Urquadia, and the two still barely managed a minute in the same room before finding an excuse to flee. At the same time, they both insisted that nothing of any consequence had transpired. Clearly, Rodney and John were simply too inept at meaningful conversation to sort it all out themselves. So Taylor would have to do so for them. Neither John nor Rodney were privy to Taylor's negotiations with Elizabeth that had resulted in AR-1 ordered to drop all their work, take a puddle jumper, and go exploring. So it came as a bit of a shock when at 0300 hours she woke them up and announced they were due in the jumper bay in 10 minutes' time. Despite Rodney's claims that he simply couldn't skip the lab today as there were far too many explosion experiments planned, Elizabeth confirmed that they were in fact due for an important mission and must leave post-haste despite the early hour. "Without a briefing first?" Rodney asked. "Taylor will fill you in on the details," Elizabeth answered. "Now if you'll excuse me, I'm going back to bed."
"Well, isn't that great for you?" Rodney grumbled. John, Rodney, and Ronan arrived at Jumper 2, bleary-eyed and scowling. Taylor handed each of them coffee, blueberry pancakes, and fruit cups. A packaged bag sat on each of their chairs. Rodney wondered how Taylor managed to pack their gear without them knowing, and how much she might have been ruffling through his very private clothing, and even more private personal things. John and Rodney exchanged concerned stares, but then looked away, remembering that neither of them were speaking to the other. John managed to both blush and glare, sending more confusing signals than Rodney had the energy to untangle. They turned to Ronan, who just shrugged in confusion.
"So let me get this straight," Rodney said. "We're on an urgent mission to where again?"
"Candy Mountain," Taylor supplied.
"Right, to Candy Mountain, because why exactly?"
"It is a matter of great importance," Taylor answered.
"At Candy Mountain. Seriously, that can't be a real place."
"I assure you, it is,"
Ronan confirmed. "It's well known. Resort, I think." "Okay. And it's imperative we go now at 0300 hours, Rodney asked.
"Correct."
"So shouldn't we know what we're walking into before we arrive?"
"No," Taylor answered, then offering nothing else, she took a seat.
"Well, I at least need to know where we're going," John said.
"I have taken the liberty of uploading our flight plan."
"Of course you have," Rodney said. "This doesn't seem strange to any of the rest of you."
"I admit it's a bit odd, but Elizabeth seemed adamant we go,"
John drawled, raising an eyebrow. He looked back over his shoulder as though checking Tayla for any sign of parasites, alien possession, or anything else to explain the unusual behavior.
I assure you, John, that I am myself and I am well. I ask only that you trust me.
After a series of qualifying questions, as well as clarifications over the comms from exhausted-sounding Elizabeth and Carson, John seemed satisfied enough that Tayla was Tayla and agreed to take off.
Let's go already, Ronan said, his mouth full of delicious blueberry pancakes. He was, after all, always up for an adventure, over feeling trapped in the city.
Rodney threw his hands up in exasperation. This makes no sense whatsoever. Still, he settled into his seat, buckled up, and dug into the fruit cup. If he was going to jump into such madness, he needed to at least do so on a full stomach. They parked the jumper next to a pond with pink and blue frog-like creatures with forked tongues and red, beady eyes. The Klimomps, as Tayla called them, made continuous sounds that seemed to say, "Shun, shun."
Hella creepy.
"The village is this way," Tayla said, motioning to a rocky path. "It is about 1 hour's walk upward and over the bridge, then another quarter hour from there. We will want to move quickly if we are to arrive by check-in."
"Check-in?" John asked.
"Yes, they are expecting us and are most peculiar about starting on time."
They trudged their way up the hill slope, careful to keep their footing on the loose gravel.
"You know these people well?" John asked.
"Yes and no. I have only had the pleasure once as a child. The substantial trade costs of staying here is a barrier for most of my people to consider visiting regularly."
"Trade cost?"
"Yes, lodging, food, entertainment. The Dulcinas expect to be lavishly rewarded for their efforts."
"So I ask again," Rodney said. "Why are we here?"
"Is it not yet obvious?"
"Hardly. Care to enlighten us?"
"I want a vacation."
"Wait, hold up," Rodney whipped around, waving his finger. "You said it was a matter of great importance."
"I did, yes."
Unperturbed, Tayla walked past him, refusing to stop for a debate.
Rodney sighed and continued forward.
"A vacation isn't important."
"Are you sure about that?"
"Yes. What part of explosion experiment did you not understand?" "Are there not always dangerous experiments in the lab? Do you still not regularly leave for missions?"
"Yes, but that misses the point."
"Does it?" Ronan asked, smiling brightly, as though pleased to get under Rodney's skin.
"Not you too," Rodney groaned.
Ronan batted away a large overhanging branch with leaves the size of his arm, making a path for the others to walk through.
"A vacation isn't a bad idea," John added.
"It would have been nice to at least have a heads up and not have been working at 0300 hours.
Oh, and shouldn't we all have some say in where we're going?"
"You would have avoided coming," Ronan said.
"He's right. You would have found a way to weasel out," John explained.
Probably. You would have too. Don't think I haven't noticed you avoiding me."
"You've been avoiding me too."
"Obviously. You want to talk about what happened?"
"Hell no."
"Me neither."
"Good," John said with an air of, "please shut up now."
Nearby, most of the Klimomps continued their creepy song. Rodney already hated everything about this planet. He could be back on Atlantis, drinking mounds of coffee while he hid away in his lab. Instead, it seemed another day full of mud, rocks, and other annoyingness. He glanced toward Shepard and sighed. He thought of Shepard touching the truth-telling orb on Arcadia, the way he'd looked at Rodney, the words he'd said.
"You drive me crazy, and I hate it."
Rodney's own words made his gut sink, because they were true. They just weren't meant at all how the truth-telling device had made them come out. But he also couldn't tell John what he'd actually meant. Sometimes I can't stand being around you. Ronnie shook away the memory, determined to bury it so deep down in the furthest corners of his brain that it would never resurface. He glanced at a Clemont following him with those awful beady eyes. It seemed to say, I know what you meant. Which was ridiculous. It was only Ronnie's imagination being a jerk to him again. Ronan moved aside another monster branch, revealing a large clearing and a rickety rope bridge over a 500-foot drop. I am not going over that, Rodney declared. It is safe, Taylor promised, taking several steps onto the bridge. It wobbled and creaked. John went next. Ronan took up the rear, not allowing Rodney a chance to turn around and opt out. Is anyone else getting splinters? Rodney asked as they continued over the wavering abomination. It's fine, Rodney, John answered, clearly annoyed, which made sense because if their one-sentence truth confessions were anything to go by, Rodney had a knack for annoying him. I'm just saying, our vacations more often than not end up with at least one of us in the infirmary. Ronan's warrior planet excursion was especially ill-advised. Also, you just talked to me again. Shepard rolled his eyes and increased his pace. The entrance to Candy Mountain shined brightly with blue, green, and pink jewels around a giant cave mouth. A sign written in several different languages read, Welcome! Relieve your burdens! Take your rest! John allowed Tayla to take up the front while he and Ronan took the rear. Ronnie stared at his modified life science detector, somehow managing to not run into any of the decorations. They looked almost like lollipops, tons of them standing vertically, making up a curved path to the back of the cave. They shone brightly, lighting the path to a large wooden door, three times their height, covered in glitter rocks. There's some rules you must know before entering, Tayla explained. First, the Dulcinas are they. Second, you must be polite and kind here. Third, the Dulcinas do not tolerate aggression of any sort, Taylor warned. Already she had insisted they take only stunners and no P90s on the trip. John had, of course, argued that it was a bad plan, but Elizabeth had once again insisted Taylor knew what she was doing and the rest of AR1 would do well to listen to her. Besides, maybe stunners made more sense as a weapon carried to worlds they wanted to trust them. P90s weren't exactly a great symbol for we come in peace. This better not be a trap, Rodney mumbled as Taylor knocked on the third lowest knocker. Rodney wasn't sure he wanted to know who the highest knocker was for at nearly twice Ronan's height. The door creaked open, revealing a Ronin-sized pastel blue creature hovering a foot above the ground as their silver wings fluttered. With their sharp talons and long snout, they looked not unlike a dragon. Welcome, welcome, most excellent guests, they said in a jovial voice. We trust you have a reservation. We do, thank you. My name is Taylor Amagan, and we are most excited to take part in your hospitality. Excellent, excellent. Please then, follow us to the reception. We are honored to care for you. The Dulcinas led them down a green carpet and huge wooden desk that towered even over Rodney's head. They flew upward and looked over the edge. Mimi, guest Amagans have arrived. Came a new, beaming voice. Above the desk, Mimi's huge pink face peered, their eyes as big as John's head. The Dulcina snout was decidedly dragon-like, but they bore no wings. Welcome, friends. Although Mimi's voice sounded anything but welcome, perhaps bored, possibly annoyed. I see we have received payment for all services. We will see to it you are cared for. Mimi then disappeared behind the desk again, ruffling and crashing sounds followed. You'll have to excuse Mimi. They are never happy until they have their morning caffeine. What? Ronnie asked when all of the team looked toward him. Mimi emerged holding out two jewels, one blue and one green. We will see you to your lodgings. We trust that all will exceed your fondest wishes. You, the honor is ours.
Yes, please follow us, the pastel blue creature answered.
You are named you, then, Taylor asked.
We are you, that is us. Please forgive me, their sleepiness. We worked many hours to bring your dreams to life.
Dawn did have to admit there was something special about this place. The white stone floor looked akin to the high-end mall his mom used to shop at. The aroma everywhere was of something sweet and salty, a bit like caramel, perhaps? He saw Dulcinas racing by with several dishes of delicious-looking food, including one that looked like a roast leg of lamb with all the trimmings.
The Dulcinas take pride on matching their environment to their guests' favorite memories, Taylor explained. I gave them some descriptions from my travels to Earth, as well as recipes suggested by Elizabeth and others.
Just how long have you been planning this?
Only a few days.
They arrived at the end of a long, winding corridor where two doors sat opposite of one another.
This will be your lodgings, made to your specifications. We trust you will love our care in bringing your vision to life.
Yu flew off and away, leaving the team to themselves. Tayla handed over the blue jewel, which John guessed must go with the blue door. Tayla pressed her green jewel to the green door. John did the same with his. The door opened. His heart sank. Hey, there's only one bed, John groaned.
That is odd, Taylor said. Ours has two.
Maybe we should tell them. They seem eager to do this right.
No,
Taylor cried, much too quickly. She shuffled on her feet, an altogether un-Taylor-like move. Then apparently seeing John's suspicion, she straightened. No, the Dulcinas would be most offended if we pointed out any of their mistakes. It's best we just deal with what we have. Ronan and I will take this room, and you two may take the other.
No, not speaking to each other, remember? Ronnie said, gesticulating in his usual way.
I remember, Tayla said.
I could sleep on the floor, Ronan offered, but Tayla nudged him. He glanced at her quizzically. I'll share with Tayla.
Thank you. Now, if you'll excuse us, we need to unpack.
Taylor pulled Ronan into the room and closed the door, a distinct locking sound following. Damn. John shrugged at Rodney, who simply shrugged back.
It's not like we haven't dealt with one bed before, John said. You take it. I'll take the floor. Rodney agreed. So I stay on my side, and you stay on yours? John took in the small room, no larger than his quarters on Atlantis. For such a fancy resort, he'd expected bigger. There wasn't much room beyond the bed and coffee table, but he could make it work. Yes, and no talking. Fine by me. Good. John enjoyed maybe 30 seconds apiece before Rodney said, "Oh, wow." Of course, this was Rodney, and him not talking was about as likely as him not drinking coffee. John fought the urge to ask Rodney to clarify, busying himself with unpacking his bag. Somehow, Taylor managed to leave out his sleeping bag and emergency blanket. Great. Just freaking great. If I believed in heaven, which, to be clear, I don't, this mattress would be heaven. It's amazing. You have to try it, Ronnie said. You want me to come to your side now? John asked. Oh, no, not really. Well, as long as we're talking. For extremely loose definitions of the term, Rodney scoffed. Give me your sleeping bag. What? Why? You didn't bring yours? Taylor didn't exactly give us a chance to check our packs before she left. You don't think she purposely ordered us a room with only one bed, do you? You're just now figuring that out. Oh, why? Ronnie asked. She wants us to stop fighting. Yeah, I got that. But why one bed? No sleeping bags? Taylor wouldn't forget them. You don't think she thinks?
No, John snapped. Don't even.
Well, she obviously thinks it anyway.
Just last week, you were telling me how much you couldn't stand to be around me. Remember that? John growled.
Oh, so you do want to talk. Just remember you told me that you hate me, Ronnie scoffed. Or was that a whimper? John wasn't sure.
I didn't say I hated you, John muttered. I said that you drive me crazy, and I hate it.
Doesn't that mean you hate me?
No, God no, Rodney. You're my best friend.
Who drives you crazy?
Sometimes, yes.
Well, for what it's worth, I don't hate you either, Rodney mumbled.
No, you just find me annoying. John turned away so Rodney couldn't see him pouting. Stupid vacations, stupid talking. Better to just bottle it up and never mention it again.
Didn't they both silently agree to that?
And you find me annoying, Rodney replied. You basically admitted that.
Seriously, we're given an all-magical truth orb that makes you say your deepest, most intimate thoughts, and you say that I drive you crazy? What the hell was that?
I didn't mean it that way.
In what way could you mean it then? It's hard to take it any other way.
Nothing. John stuffed his hands deep into his pockets. Yeah, he was definitely pouting.
It meant nothing. Damn thing was probably broken.
Good, let's go with that, Rodney said.
Fine by me.
Fine.
John boiled inside. Did Taylor even say for how long they were stuck here? Maybe if they left now, they could reach the jumper by nightfall.
In the corner of the room, on John's side, sat a small oval coffee table. On top was a book and a purple box with a large blue bow. John knew better than to open it. Whatever misguided plan Taylor insisted they take part in, nothing good could come from that package. But the tiny room lit by lollipop lights was hella boring. At last, he lifted up the bow and opened the box. The note inside read, "I thought you might enjoy these." Signed, Taylor.
"Hey, what's that?" Rodney asked.
"It's from Taylor."
"It smells sweet."
"It's mine."
"Does the note say it's for you?"
"No, but it's on my side of the room, so it's mine."
"You are so immature," Rodney said.
"And you're not?" John asked.
John lifted the velvet cloth cover to reveal a row of 10 neatly packed blue lollipops.
"Huh." John immediately plopped one into his mouth and began to suck.
"Tastes like blueberries."
"Oh, you have got to be kidding me."
"What?
Lollipops? She got you lollipops? Seriously, what the fuck?"
"I don't see what the big deal is. They taste good."
"Yes, Colonel. Everyone is well aware of how much you love your lollipops."
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"Nothing. Let's just go back to not talking."
"You're the one who won't shut up."
Someone pounded loudly on their door, too strong and loud to be either Taylor or Ronan. John and Rodney exchanged uneasy glances, then John, stunner held close, opened the door. It was Mimi, speaking in a low but now animated voice. Maybe the Dulcinas just needed caffeine to maintain Yu-Yu's level of enthusiasm. "We hope you are pleased with your room. We were surprised you wished it so tiny, but we appreciate everyone sees luxury differently."
Yeah, John was definitely going to have a word with Taylor.
"It's nice," John answered, "just as requested."
"Excellent. We will be ready shortly with your deluxe couple's mud bath."
"Our what now?"
"The deluxe package. You were most clear in our instructions. We've worked diligently to bring your dream to life. Do you no longer wish our services?" Their snouts seemed to fall, tears filling their eyes. Maybe Taylor wasn't kidding about not offending these people.
Look, me. Me is us, yes.
Me, the thing is that we're not actually a couple.
The Dulcinas gasped.
You are saying that we got your instructions wrong?
Oh no, how can this be? We must apologize most profusely. We will of course hold our heads in shame for our failings and commence the self-flagellation and the flames of remorse.
What?
No. See, our friend is messing with us. She somehow convinced herself that that is going to help us stop fighting. I don't understand why exactly, but...
Fighting? What? No, we do not allow fighting here. Our shame is greater. Alas, what shall we do?
At this, the Dulcinas flexed their talon, their huge tears streaming down their cheek. They cast their snout downward. Throughout the hall, many Dulcinas peeked out of their room to see what the fuss was about. John had no choice but to give in.
You know what? I'm mistaken. Everything is good. Perfect even. A deluxe mud bath sounds wonderful. It sounded like hell. Pure, unadulterated hell. He glared at the green door from which Taylor did not emerge. Mimi relaxed immediately, all signs of tears gone.
Ah, wonderful. We shall depart in 10 bells' time.
You agreed to what? Rodney shouted. It's not like I had a choice. Taylor set us up.
What has gotten into her? Is she crazy?
Probably, John said, casually rolling the lollipop around his mouth. Rodney gulped. His cheeks burned.
You okay? John asked.
I'm not doing a mud bath.
Trust me, me, and you are not taking no for an answer here.
It's a sensory nightmare.
I get that. I do. Look at me. I'm going to have to deal with one of those dragon things touching me. Me. You know how I feel about that.
Rodney was suddenly taken by an image of touching John in unquestionable places and John moaning in pleasure. But he shook the ridiculous idea away. John didn't like touch, and he also wasn't gay. John sucked deeply on his lollipop. Rodney choked. Mud baths and massages by the Dulcinas turned out to be amazing. The mud was appropriately warm and cozy, not at all slimy or gross as Rodney expected. Plus, John was forced to throw his lollipop away, saving some of Rodney's dignity. For massages, Mimi rolled the back of their talons over their backs while Yu offered them sweet drinks and savory snacks resembling a charcuterie board. The meats were all wrong, not at all earth-like, but still delicious. Maybe more so. Dripping mud, their limbs little more than mush, Rodney and John sauntered back to their room.
You will want to clean up, of course, Yu said, fluttering behind them. They dove forward and knocked on the black wall.
A rectangular door slid upward, revealing a bathroom with one shower surrounded by glass and one giant bathtub. The unmistakable scent of lavender drifted past them.
The feast and entertainment will commence tonight. Until then, please avail yourself of our delightful private spa.
Yu bowed, then flew quickly out of the room, the door creaking shut behind them.
You first, John asked, pulling out another lollipop.
Rodney did his best to suppress his moans, but failed miserably. This was John, and lollipops, after all, it wasn't fair. What could he possibly have done to Taylor to deserve this?
What? John asked.
Can you please stop doing that already?
What?
Sucking on those things. It's indecent.
Indecent? John asked, flummoxed. How is a lollipop indecent?
How is it not? Seriously, are you doing it on purpose to get to me, or do you actually not know? No what? You're not making any sense. Ronnie flung his arms into the air to say, why me? Then marched off to the shower, only it seemed everything was made of glass and the door wouldn't close. Huh. Huh, what? The walls are transparent. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just keep my back turned, John offered. You better. It's not like I haven't seen it before. Why do you suddenly care? I don't. Sounds like you do. Well, I don't. Ronnie very much hoped John didn't hear the squeak in his voice or see the pitched tent in his muddy boxers. Damn lollipops. Ronnie startled as he heard a knock. Yu-Yu ducked in their snout. Is all as ordered? We heard raised voices and we worry so. No, no raised voices. We're good. Really? Ronnie said, though he doubted he sounded convincing enough to fool even a small child. Yu-Yu, however, seemed satisfied. They let out a deep breath, smoke tendrils wafting into the air. This is a relief to us. We shall leave you be now. They slid out the door, leaving John and Ronnie staring at each other. This is ridiculous, Ronnie said at last. Yeah, we suck at this whole talking thing, don't we? John's mouth was now a deep blue as he threw away the remaining stick. He looked comical enough, Ronnie finally managed to relax. Ronnie said, I don't want to fight with you. I'm going to just take the shower. You do your thing, and as long as you don't grab another lollipop, we'll both get through this. John knew how to shower with men around. He was well practiced at keeping his eyes downcast, focusing on getting in and out, then done. Thus, he managed a good 10 minutes before catching a glimpse in his periphery. John flushed. Fuck. No, this was Ronnie. He promised himself not to do this, not to open the store, not to risk their friendship. Not that Ronnie was in disguise anyway. Stupid orb device twisting his words and driving a wedge between them. That mission was the worst. He flushed deeper as Ronnie, covered in soap and water, scrubbed at the mud stuck in his groin. Fuck, fuck, fuck. He seriously needed to not be watching this. Averting his gaze, he grabbed a book off the coffee table and groaned at the title. The How-To Guide to Sensual Massages for Couples. Absently, he reached for one of the blue lollipops and began to suck vigorously. Ronnie concentrated on the flowing warm water, caressing his skin just like an earth shower, and not at all like those waterless abominations on Atlantis. He decidedly did not look toward Shepard, who he already knew was actually not looking at him, because they were best friends, and John wasn't in disguise. Obviously. He stepped out of the shower, refreshed and happy, bouncing on his feet. I've been thinking, Ronnie said as he slipped into the soft, white, and plush, heavenly robe. Yeah, John said, distracted by whatever nonsense he might be reading. This place makes no sense, right? How would they be able to create all of this for us in a matter of days? Based on my readings, there's a lot of ancient tech here, which makes sense. How is it manifesting things just the way we want them? And what did you conclude? John asked, his nose still stuck in his book. This is a holosuite of some sort. It's the only thing that makes sense. Taylor said we're not allowed to poke around their technology. Something about how they'd burn us all into crisp pieces of nothingness. Right. No poking around. But this is me? Ronnie began pacing, but the room was ridiculously short. He could only manage 4 steps one direction before having to turn around again. Yes, this is you. I can't not explore tech. Burnt crisps, Ronnie. You're seriously going to just let this whole thing go? Imagine the power needed for a place like this. Taylor was very clear. Yeah, well, Taylor's busy trying to set us up, in case you haven't noticed. Trust me, I noticed. She probably thinks it's hilarious, messing with us like this, as if we'd ever, you know,
I think it's meant to be more of a prank than to be taken seriously.
Oh, well, that's good then. We'll have to prank her good when we get back.
What did we do to her anyway?
She doesn't like it when we fight.
Right. That must... Wait.
Ronnie whipped around, his eyes widening.
Oh, my God. You started another lollipop.
John blushed.
Yeah, sorry. It sort of just happened. I didn't realize.
I can't believe you did that, Ronnie shouted, angry, panicking.
Oh, God. John was really going down on the candy. Images filled his head. Very obscene and passionate images.
Fuck!
It was an accident.
I told you not to.
You did. I said I'm sorry. Now can we please move on?
Ronnie's nose bunched as he glared. Go take your shower.
Unlike Ronnie, John showed no reluctance in removing his clothing. One moment he was fully clothed and the next completely unabashedly naked. Only then did he take his lollipop out of his mouth and place it on the gift box.
Ronnie forgot for a moment to avert his eyes, but then remembered himself and tried to focus on anything else.
Unfortunately, the room was mostly bare. He watched the lollipop instead, sitting there on the box, all seductive and blue. It most definitely didn't help. From his periphery, he saw John's sleek form with just the right balance of muscles glistening in the water.
Oh, wow.
Ronnie choked again. John emerged quickly, trained in quick military showers, and apparently unable to break the habit of quick in and out. Ronnie pushed past him, taking off his robe and turning the cold water on.
You okay? John called over the water.
Yep, fine, never better.
If you say so, John answered.
Ronnie glared over his shoulder just on time to see John's lush lips wrap around the lollipop. Ronnie whimpered. Taylor and Ronan were all smiles and laughs when Ronnie and John arrived at the dinner banquet.
Laugh it up, Ronnie said, but you know we're so getting you back for this.
I am not sure to what you are referring, Taylor said, feigning innocence. This is simply a vacation.
It's nice here, Ronan added.
Yeah, that's one word for it. Want to explain why I've seen closets bigger than our room? Ronnie asked.
I'm sure it was just a mistake, Taylor suggested.
Or why we had to bathe in mud together, John asked, though he grew a wistful look to his gaze, not at all angry or upset.
Did you? Ronan asked, laughing heartily.
And why we had to get matching art designs drawn on our arm? Thank God they said it's not permanent.
Ronnie held out his arm, in which a fancy heart was drawn with RM and JS written in the center.
I hear it can be made permanent if you so wish.
No? Why would we wish that?
Taylor merely shrugged.
The romantic music mix in the room? John asked.
Odd. Our room was quiet, Taylor assured them, still looking at the fake tattoos while stifling her own laughs.
Our room is big and relaxing, Ronan added. Ronnie waved his finger accusingly at Taylor.
We know you set this whole thing up. This entire place is some sort of Star Trek holosuite. You designed it to be like this.
And if you know that, then surely you have figured out why.
Because you want to mess with us?
Ronnie suggested.
Because you want us to stop fighting, John added.
That is part of it, yes. I can see you have not yet made progress on talking through the events on Arcadia. However, I admit I am disappointed. Once you have talked, I believe the answer will be made clear to all.
Well, that's not going to happen, John said. First thing tomorrow, we're hitting the road.
I'm afraid that is not possible. I paid for a full 3-night sleep. I'd hate to offend the Dulcinas. They do not take rejection well, often employing fire to express their dismay.
You think you're so clever,
Ronnie said, arms crossed and pouting. That's because she is, Ronan supplied, downing a large mug of ale.
Would you like me to send you some lollipops as well? Tayla asked Ronnie. I am told they do wonders for cheering people up on your world.
I hate you, Rodney muttered. You do not. He couldn't stay mad long, though. Not when several dulcinas of various sizes and shades of pastel arrived, bearing trays of delicious-looking food.
Last on the agenda for the night, the dulcinas insisted John and Rodney take a starlight stroll through a rose garden. Given they were actually in a mountain, this served to confirm Rodney's suspicions that everything was manifested through some sort of hologram technology. A variety of plants lined their curved path. Rodney recognized some from Pegasus planets and a lot from Earth. Tayla must have done a hell of a lot of research to make this place come to life, which was an awful lot of work for one prank. Rodney glanced up at the stars and sighed.
You okay? John asked.
Yeah, why?
You haven't talked in a full 5 minutes. Usually that's a sign of terrifying disasters approaching.
Har, har. I'm not that bad.
You are.
I thought we weren't talking to each other, Ronnie asked.
We've been doing a fairly crappy job of it, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah, Ronnie sighed again.
What?
I was just thinking about Arcadia.
John froze. His face paled. We agreed not to discuss that.
Maybe that's a mistake, though. You're my best friend. I care about you. And, well, I meant what I said, but not in the way it came out.
John stuffed his hands in his pockets in the way he always did when feelings roared their cruel head. He said nothing, though, allowing Rodney to continue.
Sometimes I can't stand being around you, because, well, what if I were to tell you that I'm actually gay?
He raced through the words as though they were hot embers burning his tongue.
Wait, what?
I'm gay, Rodney tried again, straightening.
You date women.
Okay, I'm bi, but I'm more into guys than women, and my dad absolutely wasn't okay with that. I learned early on to just keep it to myself. But when you're near me and you're all hot and whoa and... I lose my words and I don't know how to just be your best friend. And then you get a lollipop and fuck.
John remained frozen, not blinking, not saying anything.
I don't need you to feel the same. I just wanted you to know. It's not that I can't stand to be around you because you annoy me. It's because, well, I like you. And it's totally unfair you're so hot.
Okay, John extra slow drawled, staring at the silver, glittering ground. His breathing shallow, he took a step away from Rodney and continued down the path. Rodney sighed again. So that didn't go so well.
Please tell me that we can stay friends, Ronnie asked. I didn't mean to make it weird.
John paused at a wooden bench. His back formed into two hearts. He sat down and motioned for Ronnie to do the same.
There's not exactly a lot of room there, Ronnie pointed out.
A lover's bench, built to fit two, but barely.
John motioned again, still silent. He stared upward at the stars, then back at Rodney, fixing him with a gaze unlike any Rodney had ever seen from him before. It was gentle, kind, intrigued, and something? How odd. Rodney could always identify John's expressions.
Rodney nestled into the open spot, not at all sure what to make of John's body so close to his. On purpose? Because John invited him there?
He could do this. He could play it cool and wait to hear what John had to say, even though he knew it wouldn't be a love confession.
Maybe an easy letting down?
It's true. You drive me crazy and I hate it, John said.
Yeah, so you've said.
Rodney's heart sank. He felt like a dozen snakes were wrapped around his body, constricting him tighter and tighter. But it's not in the way you think. Then tell me. Help me to understand. You drive me crazy because you're always so animated, and I love your lopsided smile and your genius. I love how you put yourself into harm's way all the time because you believe in doing what's right, even when it's hard. You make me think of things. John's cheeks burned red. For a moment, it seemed he'd lost his words, but then he licked his lips, drew a deep breath, and continued. My dad wasn't exactly okay with me being gay either. He even tried to send me somewhere to, you know, fix me. But I ran away. When I came back, we fought a lot, but he gave up on trying to change me. In that way, at least. I think I married Nancy to try and heal that rift. But it just made things worse, you know? Parents are the worst sometimes. Yeah. So what I'm saying here is... John's fingers tapped on his temporary tattoo. As his words drifted again, red traveled from his cheeks to the tips of his pointy ears. Oh. Poor John. Feelings definitely weren't his arena. Ronnie reached over, placing his hand over John's, stilling the tapping. You like me too, Ronnie said for him. John nodded. Wow. Really? Me? John nodded again, this time allowing himself to make eye contact. Yes, you, he managed. So what now? Ronnie asked, barely able to breathe, his heart racing circles around them. We walk, John suggested. He stood up, reaching out his hand. It wasn't exactly what Ronnie would have chosen, but slow probably made sense, and the stars were brilliant. So hand in hand, they strolled down the stone path. The trouble remained that their room contained only one bed. They arrived back at freaking early in the morning, both tired and finally ready to rest, but neither sure exactly how to handle their newfound truths. So what now? Ronnie asked. John grabbed another lollipop, this time making a point of showing Rodney while making extra licking movements before slowly taking it in. Rodney gulped, then gasped, then choked. I don't know. Got any ideas? John asked. As it turned out, Rodney did. John and Rodney arrived on the late side to breakfast the next morning. Taylor immediately brightened, nudging Ronan. Ronan turned and belted out a large laugh. I see you finally talked, she said.
And more, Ronan added, grinning.
What? Rodney asked, not at all appreciating their knowing expressions. We are simply saying that blue is an interesting color for your tongue and neck, Rodney. I trust you have both resolved your differences then.
You could say that, John answered. He tapped his toe against Rodney's. Ronnie tapped back. They intertwined their calves. Yu-Yu arrived with two plates piled high with food.
I see our retreat has been most pleasing for you both. We are so happy for you. We noticed you scheduled most of today for your own musings. Please let us know if you change your mind and would like to engage in any more of our entertainment services. Otherwise, we will see you tonight at the dinner and dancing banquet.
So no plans for today? Ronnie asked once Yu-Yu-Yu flew away.
I thought perhaps you might have your own entertainment in mind, Taylor answered.
I'm sure they do, Ronan added. Ronnie glared at him. Ronan shrugged in return. Rodney and John did their best to scarf down food as quickly as possible. As amazing as this fantastical resort was, their tiny closet of a room called their name. They held hands as they bolted away toward their blue door.
Do you remember, John said, when I told you that I wasn't going to take a bath with you?
Oh, yes, a year or so ago. I was talking about Archimedes and the best ideas coming from taking a bath.
Right. So what I really meant is we should really take a bath together. Rodney sputtered. Well, that, good. Huh? We have a spa tub. It would be a shame if you put it to waste. Once through the door, Rodney did not hesitate to throw off his clothing, though it took a while, what with all the kissing and glomping. Filled with sweets, food, and entertainment, AR-1 departed Candy Mountain 3 days later. Taylor felt especially smug as she noted Rodney's and John's linked hands. She chuckled at their red, goofy expressions. "What I don't understand," Rodney said as he made his way across the rickety bridge, unusually making zero complaints, "is where you found the trade goods for this trip. It must have cost a fortune. And are you sure I can't study their tech?" "Much of Atlantis pitched in," Taylor said. "They all saw a need for you to finally talk. And no, you may not study their technology. I was not lying when I said they would burn you into a crisp." "Hmm," Rodney grumbled. "Wait," John said. "You're saying all of Atlantis was in on this?"
"I wasn't," Rodney answered. "Place wasn't my style."
Taylor simply shrugged in response.
"Perhaps it is better to not know who. I will simply say that I am glad that it was a successful mission." To this, none of them disagreed. The end.